ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 27 टेक्स्ट नंबर 17। गम्यतां शक्रभद्रं वा क्रियतां मेनुशासनं स्थीयतां स्वाधिकारेषु युक्तैर्वस्तम्भवर्जितै। गम्यतां शक्रभद्रं वा क्रियतां मेनुशासनं स्थीयतां स्वाधिकारेषु युक्तैर्वस्तम्भवर्जितै। गम्यतां शक्रभद्रं वा क्रियतां मेनुशासनं स्थीयतां स्वाधिकारेषु युक्तैर्वस्तम्भवर्जितै। गम्यतां शक्रभद्रं क्रियतां मेनुशासनं स्थीयतां स्वाधिकारेषु युक्तैर्वस्तम्भवर्जितै। स्थीयतां स्वाधिकारेषु युक्तैर्वस्तम्भवर्जितै। स्थीयतां स्वाधिकारेषु मातजिस् गम्यतां शक्रभद्रं वा क्रियतामेव शासनं स्थीयतां स्वाधिकारेषु गम्यतां। यू मे गो शक्र ओ इंद्र। भद्रम गुड फॉर्च्यून वह अंटू यू। क्रियताम यू शुड एग्जीक्यूट मे माय। अनुशासनम ऑर्डर। स्थीयताम यू मे रिमेन। स्व इन योर ओन। अधिकारेषु रेस्पॉन्सिबिलिटीज। युक्तैः सोबरली एंगेज्ड वह यू। स्तंभ फॉल्स प्राइड। वर्जितैः डिवॉइड ऑफ। ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रपोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद डिसाइपल्स। इंद्र यू मे गो नाउ। Execute my order and remain in your appointed position as king of heaven. But be sober, without false pride. purport. Lord Krishna here addresses Indra in the plural form, Vaha, because this grave instruction was meant to be a lesson for all the demigods. It's a short purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutede Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here, so that I can speak on this most elevated subject matter. So here we see how Indra has finally realized this blunder and come to his senses, and now he is begging forgiveness from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, for offending him. And Krishna is now telling him that you can go now, after Indra offered all his prayers. Through Surabhi cow, Krishna has finally forgiven him, and he is now telling him, now that you can go, everything is excused, and you can continue with your services in the heavenly planets as the king of the demigods. But he is saying that be situated in your position in a sober mood without false pride. So we find how pride is an intoxicating factor. In the previous verse, Krishna is telling, a man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand. If I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. So pride causes blindness. It has an intoxicating effect, which prevents us from seeing reality as it is. So in Queen Kunti's prayer we find this, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribhra Edamana Madappuman. Mada is again an intoxicating effect that these kind of opulences have on a living entity. So Indra is full of this. He has a good birth, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri, wealth and knowledge, everything Indra is equipped with. So that has an intoxicating pride, which prevented him from understanding Krishna's supreme position. So, when we are intoxicated with this anartha, then we tend to act whimsically. our words, actions, behavior, thoughts, everything is whimsical. Just like a drunken man who is fully drunk, you speak with him, he will speak any random crazy things, he'll act crazily. Everything is crazy about his behavior. So similarly, when we are intoxicated with this pride, then our actions are all whimsical and destructive in nature. And that's what Indra did. He tried to destroy the whole of Vrindavan and Rajavasis. We had a nice poem in BTG sometime back where Sita Mataji wrote a nice couplet describing the effect of pride and envy and ego. Pride too is such a thing, she writes. Pride too is such a thing, makes one think others are nothing. Seeing only faults in everything, but never grateful for anything. True ego is, I behind everyone. But false ego is, I am the only one. I do not need anyone. I am me and mine. That is great fun. So this is the effect of pride. I am the only one. I am the center of everything. Everything should revolve around me. And everything should stay behind me. I am should be head, controlling everything. So in the 13th chapter of the Gita, we find how Krishna describes 20 items of knowledge. Amanitvam, adambitvam. So amanitvam, humility, is considered to be an item of knowledge. Humility is a symptom of a person in knowledge. And contrary to this, we have pride. Dambho darpo vimanascha. In the 16th chapter, Krishna lists pride as a demonic quality. So, if humility is an item of knowledge, then pride is an item of ignorance. We can conclude like that. So, Krishna goes on to describe various characteristics of a demonic person. The first few verses are describing divine qualities, and the rest of the chapter goes in detail to describe the demonic qualities of a demon. The chapter is entitled Divine and Demonic, but majority of the chapter is describing demonic qualities. So, false pride is like that. It's demonic. It's destructive in nature and can cause great harm to everyone, including the person who is affected by that. So, in one class, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj is describing how pride is caused by illusion. And in one purport, Prabhupada describes how pride prevents us from surrendering to Krishna. So caused by illusion means it is caused by misidentification with our body and other temporary false things. So that causes illusion. Every conditioned living entity is under the grips of illusion. And then he is affected by pride. Because of that false misidentification. In this Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a very classic story of how this person called Gopal Chakravarti, he offended Haridas Thakur because of that false pride arising out of misidentification with the body. So it is described how there was this family, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, uncle and father of Raghunath Das Goswami. And they would hold regular discussion on Srimad Bhagavatam in their house. So one day, they invited Haridas Thakur to their home so that he can speak about the glories of the holy name and the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Haridas Thakur was famous as Namacharya, one who is addicted to chanting the holy names. So they said, we'll invite him and let us hear from him. So he was invited. He came to their house and started describing, participated in that assembly. So in that assembly, the subject matter was holy name, the glories and effects of chanting the holy name. So some people in the assembly said, by chanting the holy name, one is freed from the reactions of all sinful life. It can destroy all unlimited karmic reactions that we have accumulated throughout our past lives. Everything can be destroyed simply by uttering Krishna's holy name. Then someone else said, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, a living being is liberated from all material bondage. This is how they were glorifying the holy name. Which is not wrong, which is real, true. But then Haridas Thakur, he started speaking. And then he said, as the sun begins to rise, even before it is visible, it dissipates the darkness of night. With the first glimpse of sunlight, fear of thieves, ghosts and demons immediately disappears. And when the sun is actually visible, everything is manifest and everyone begins performing his religious activities and regulative duties. Similarly, the first hint that offenseless chanting of the Lord's holy name has awakened dissipates reactions of sinful life immediately. The very first glimpse, he's not talking about the advanced stage. Very first glimpse of pure chanting dissipates all sinful reactions. But when one chants the holy name offenselessly, one awakens to service in ecstatic love at the lotus feet of Krishna. And then he concludes by making a very conclusive statement. He says, liberation is the insignificant result derived from a glimpse of the awakening of offenseless chanting of the holy name. So many philosophers and practitioners of religion are working hard to become liberated from all material bondage. Haridas Thakur says that is just an insignificant byproduct of one who has chanted the holy name sincerely and offenselessly. He says, Mukti tuchha phala hai nama bhasa haite. Mukti is tuchha phal, an insignificant byproduct. So in that assembly there was one person called Gopal Chakravarti. He was a tax collector for the king and he would collect 1.2 million coins every month, I believe. So, and he was young, handsome, very learned. But he was envious. Envious of Krishna, envious of devotees. So when he heard the glories of holy name from Haridas Thakur, he just couldn't tolerate those statements. So he stood up and said, he cursed Haridas Thakur. He just couldn't accept those statements. He couldn't believe that liberation is an insignificant byproduct by chanting the holy name. So he started blaspheming Haridas Thakur and then he ended up cursing him by saying, if what you are saying is true about the glories of the holy name, then let my body get disfigured. If what you are saying is false, then you will be disfigured, you will be affected by disease. But if what you are saying is true, then let me become affected by some sinful reaction. So he cursed Haridas Thakur in this way. And very soon, after a few days, this Gopal Chakravarti was affected by leprosy. Leprosy in those days was considered a very abominable disease. So he was affected by leprosy and his beautiful body became disfigured and his nose, which was very prominent, very beautiful, that fell off. So that was the immediate reaction for the Vaishnava Aparad he committed against Haridas Thakur. And then he realized his mistake, he begged in front of Lord Chaitanya, begging forgiveness. Lord Chaitanya immediately didn't forgive him. He said, you have to suffer the reaction. But after many days, many years, I think, when Lord Chaitanya understood, he is really repentant, really has that remorse. And then he forgave him and then he became an associate of Lord Chaitanya. So, this is how misidentification with our body causes pride to arise in our heart. And pride is there, definitely we are going to commit offenses and blaspheme others. Another concomitant factor of pride is envy. In one lecture of in connection with Daksha Prajapati cursing Lord Shiva, Radhanath Swami Maharaj explained this point, how pride means envy is definitely coming with it. It's a byproduct. It follows it. So when there is pride, we are proud, envious of others' success, others' achievements, others' glories. We just cannot tolerate. We feel I should achieve all those things. I should be the center of attraction. And then in that class, he described how Prabhupada gave an example of a dog. A dog is working hard to achieve a bone, get a bone. Bone is not very relishable, eatable for everyone. But dog is so fond of a bone. He struggles hard to get a bone, finally he gets one. And then he wants to enjoy it. And then he comes to the bank of a river. And in the river he sees his own reflection. And what does he see? He sees another dog with a bone. So he can't tolerate that. How can another dog have a same bone, enjoying my, like me? So he starts shouting, but the dog doesn't listen. The reflection dog. Finally, so envious, angry, he jumps into the water to snatch that bone. And in the process, he loses his bone. Right? So this is how an envious heart causes us to not appreciate our own good things. Whatever we have, whatever good qualities we have, we are unable to make the best use of it, and we are unable to appreciate others' good qualities. We struggle so hard to get something, but our envy prevents us from appreciating and enjoying the results of our activities. And we want to snatch others' property, enjoy others' property. When I travel in local trains, I see people traveling from Karjat, Kasara, even Pune. I met one boy who was staying in Karjat and his job is in Sakinaka, Andheri. All the way he travels from there, it takes about 2.5 hours, one-way journey. And here he has some job, some accountant, for around 8 hours, 9 hours job. And then he goes back, reaches by around 10, 11 at home. Early morning, 6 o'clock, he has to leave. And he just expressed that, no, I'm not happy, unable to. But then competition is so much. Everyone is trying to go ahead in life, achieve a position. Corporate environment forces us to push upon others, stand upon others, go ahead, and then achieve. And that achievement is considered prestigious, impressive, in the eyes of the world. Envy is the motivating factor behind any achievement in the material world. Neighbors envy, owners pride, we say that. So, we just cannot appreciate what we have, relish what we have, and then keep on trying to snatch upon others' property. Even in children we find this. How children, they have a toy, and then other children have some toys, and they want to snatch that, unable to enjoy the toy they have. So Indra was honored here. An honored person cannot tolerate disrespect. One who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. Right? The Gita says. So Indra was an honored person, highly respected, the king of the demigods, enjoying his position. But when he saw Krishna receiving all the respect and glory, he just couldn't tolerate that. So that is the effect of envy and pride. So as part of the material world, we are also affected to various degrees. with pride and envy. With our conditioned nature, we have all these anarthas. But in spite of all these anarthas, we are somehow seeing that we are continuing with our practices. We have been chanting for so many years, practicing devotional service. Somehow we are continuing. So what is actually protecting us? In one long, old class, given in 2005, I think, Gauram Prabhu was talking about this thing. What protects us and how a living entity becomes a victim of false pride and envy. So what protects us? So in the Mahabharata we find the story how Arjuna was protected by Krishna in all circumstances. There is a very nice verse in the Gita Dhyan that says, that compares the battlefield of Kurukshetra to a river. And it's a huge river. And the two banks are Bhishma and Drona. Bhishma Drona Tata Jayadratha Jala. The water of the river is Jayadrath. These two banks are powerful, formidable banks. And the water is deep, Jayadrath. Gandhar Nilotpala. The king of Gandhar is compared to a Nilotpal. The meaning is not very clear. They say it's a blue rock or a blue lily, but some dangerous thing in the river. Shalya Grahavati. Shalya is considered as a crocodile. Kripa of that river, Kripa is a current, powerful current on the river. Karna is the waves in the river. Ashwatthama and Vikarna are compared to alligators, dangerous alligators, who are about to devour everyone. And the whirlpool, that is Duryodhan. In this mighty river, Arjuna was floating, and Ashwatthama Vikarna Ghoramaga Duryodhana Avartini Sotirna Khalu Pandavai Rananadi. Arjuna was floating, and he became victorious. Why? Because Kaivartaka Keshava. Krishna was there as the boatman to protect him. So, in our life also we are facing a similar situation. We are bombarded with so many negativities. And if we have to sustain and survive in this world with our devotional practices, only Krishna can protect us. Krishna is the only person who can maintain our devotional service and devotional attitudes and moods. Otherwise, we are bound to get caught up in the whirlpool of material existence. So many crocodiles are there, about to devour us, about to eat us up. And current is so strong. Maya's current, billboards and so many negative propaganda. Scandals and everything. You log on to internet, you find everything is negative about mundane news. Nothing encouraging about any news and event of the world. Either crimes and violence and rapes and scandals, politics. In such bombardment, how can a person remain positive? It's impossible. Unless you are exposed to spiritual vibrations. So when we are connected to Krishna consciousness, practicing sincerely, hearing the Bhagavatam and the Gita regularly, that gives us, that makes us tuned to these positive vibrations and help us transcend the negative effects of the material world. Otherwise we'll be caught up in the whirlpool of material existence and we'll be drowned in the ocean. We'll be consumed by the sharks and alligators within the river, ocean of material existence. So Arjuna was protected all the while. Krishna was always acting as a charioteer, guiding Arjuna in the famous story of Jayadrath, killing of Jayadrath. Krishna was there all the time guiding, but Arjuna was fighting. He overcame so many hurdles and at last finally reached Jayadrath. And then Krishna realized now he won't be able to probably kill before sunset. He was doubting. whether Arjuna will be successful in killing Jayadrath or not. Few minutes left for sunset, and Jayadrath is still quite a distance away, and a huge army in between. So then Krishna covered with the Sudarshan disc, covered the sun with the Sudarshan chakra, and then ordered Arjuna to shoot the arrow. He killed Jayadrath, and still there was one more condition, that his father had attained a benediction that whoever makes his son's head fall on the ground, his head will burst into pieces. So Arjuna didn't know this. He was about to shoot and kill Jayadrath. Then Krishna warned him, wait, before you release the arrow. And so condition is there. You shoot the arrow, take his head and put it on his father's lap, who is doing some austerities on a nearer river. So that Arjuna didn't know. So there also Krishna had to intervene and make Arjuna aware, oh, this is a fact. And then Arjuna, with his mantras, he released the arrow, shot, cut off the head of Jayadrath, and then transported it and on the hands of Jayadrath's father, who was equally demonic, an equally great demon. And then the head fell on his hand, he was shocked, released the head, put it on the ground, and his head burst into pieces. So without Krishna, how could have Arjuna crossed the ocean of Kaurava ocean? Right? This was impossible. And in the end of the Mahabharata, we see how so many cases Krishna protected Arjuna. During Karna's battle, he pushed the chariot down, the arrow hit his crown. In the end, when the whole thing was over, Krishna told Arjuna, "No, get down from the chariot." So Arjuna said, no, you first get down, you are superior. But then Krishna said, no, you have to get down. He got down, Krishna got down, and immediately the whole chariot burst into flames. So Arjuna was surprised how this happened. So then Krishna told him, there were so many arrows the Kaurava army was shooting upon you, you didn't even realize so many arrows were coming upon you. But I was protecting them. I was covering them and protecting you from all those attacks. So that's how Krishna protected Arjuna in all circumstances, in every situation during the 18-day war. And that enabled Arjuna to defeat these mighty warriors of the Kaurava army. Otherwise there was no chance. Although he was the best warrior, because of Krishna's intervention, Arjuna could cross the ocean. So similarly, if we take shelter of Krishna, take shelter of His holy name, take shelter of the process of bhakti, then we can remain immune to all the attacks of the material world, remain transcendental to all the negative vibrations of the material world. Otherwise we will be affected. Simply following the four regulative principles are not enough. That will just help us to prevent, help us from going down. But the active practice of bhakti yoga will help us cross over and counteract the ill effects of the negative vibrations. So that's how Krishna protected. So how does a living entity fall down? The fourth canto describes a very, very graphically how a living entity falls down through the story of Puranjan. So Puranjan was a king who was addicted to hunting. He was very fond of killing animals, going to the forest. So one day he went to the forest. So in the purport, Prabhupada describes how he was attached to his queen very much. And one day, and he couldn't leave the queen anytime. But one day he decided, let me leave the queen and go to the forest and do some hunting. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, one form of hunting is woman hunting. And then he goes on to describe the dangers of illicit affairs. And then he goes to the forest to hunt animals. So queen is compared to one's intelligence, who guides. helps us discriminate what is right, what is wrong. So Puranjan gives up the company of his queen, intelligence, and then goes to the forest to hunt animals. So animals are objects of sense gratification. It's an allegory. It's not a real story. Bhagavatam gives an analogy, an allegorical story, to drive home a point. So animals are sense objects. So Puranjan goes there, starts hunting so many animals, kills many varieties of animals, rabbits, deers, many other animals. And after a long time of hunting, he feels tired, exhausted. And then he comes back to his palace. So there Prabhupada describes the dangers of slaughterhouse and animal killing. How animal killing has immense reaction. The reactions are so terrible that it creates violence among human society. Once you inflict pain to other animals, then nature will make sure that pain is inflicted upon human society. So Puranjan comes back to his palace and he takes a bath, feels refreshed, and then he is relaxed. So coming back home and getting refreshed, that is compared to a materialist meeting a religious man, a devotee, coming in the association of sadhus, sadhu sangha. So once when one is exhausted with material life, doing all kinds of materialistic activity, he feels exhausted. Because that cannot give us real pleasure. After getting exhausted, he comes back home. Coming back home is compared to association of sadhus. So if one is fortunate enough to meet a real devotee and receive spiritual instructions about how to attain enlightenment, that process begins his removal of fatigue and tiredness. So Puranjan comes home and feels refreshed. Similarly, we need to seek the association of saintly people, only then our material miseries can diminish, come down, and we will feel refreshed. Once we get knowledge, automatically we feel enlightened. Knowledge enlightens us. So Puranjan comes home and he feels refreshed. But unfortunately, once he comes home and he is fresh and happy, then that position is a very dangerous position. After becoming refreshed, he feels, now I can again indulge in sense gratification. And then he again indulges in sense gratification, and then he becomes a woman in his next life. So after coming to devotional service, Rupa Goswami describes how the first effect of devotional service is kleshagni. Miseries are destroyed. Our health can improve. Our mental anxieties can go away. And our overall situation improves. Now, after that improvement is attained, if we become relaxed, too relaxed, complacent, and we don't take up the process of devotional service seriously, then we again become victims of sense gratification. We are again prone to fall down into sense indulgence. That's what happened with Puranjan. He again indulged in sense gratification and led a sinful life. And he became a woman in his next life. Of course, in his next life, he attains the shelter of a guru and then he perfects his life. But for us, the lesson is, we need to be careful, cautious about what all we see, what all we watch, what all we hear. Sense gratification. We may feel, oh, I'm practicing bhakti, so it's not so dangerous. I can in between do some little bit of other things. And we may take the process casually. We may become a little callous towards exposing ourselves to mundane things. And eventually those seeds are planted in our mind, and then gradually it grows and it becomes a huge tree. And then we may give up the whole process of bhakti. There are so many examples of people falling down from devotional service. So if you are not careful, Prabhupada compared to walking on a razor's edge, on a rope. Anytime you can fall. Right? One little bit of mistake, you fall down. So in the association of devotees, the chances are less of falling down. But on our own, we need to make sure, we need to safeguard ourselves and protect ourselves from all these silly mistakes. So, in the 11th canto, there is a nice verse that says about various types of misidentifications. Madhvacharya explains in one purport how identification with various temporary things causes various kinds of problems. So one who identifies with the body, he is affected by drowsiness and lust. One who is too much identifies with the body, he is troubled by excessive sleep and lust, lusty desires. One who identifies with prana, he is tormented by excessive hunger, always feeling hungry. Morning, evening, dinner, in between, excessive hunger. One who identifies with the mind, he is troubled by panic and fear. Always afraid of something, paranoia. Paranoid about something. One who identifies himself with the intelligence, he feels profound existential bitterness and frustration. This is a problem with identifying with the mind, Madhvacharya says. He's frustrated with many things. Bitter, he gets a feeling of bitterness towards the situations around him, towards circumstances, towards people around him. He's always bitter, frustrated, unable to tolerate situations. One who identifies with the false ego, he's troubled by inferiority complex. Always feeling, always having a low self-esteem, less self-confidence. Always feeling, I am nothing. Now this is different from humility. Humility doesn't cause low self-esteem. But inferiority complex makes us lose our confidence in ourselves. Even if we have some abilities, we lose that confidence to do something. So humility is a positive quality. Like we have so many big, big acharyas. Kaviraj Goswami humbly expressing, oh, I am a worm in the stool, and whoever utters my name loses all good qualities. But then such people went on to do big, big things. Prabhupada also felt, I am a very humble, insignificant brother. Make me dance, he prayed. But then we saw how, although he was humble, he achieved big results. Because that self-confidence was there. Confidence in Krishna, confidence in the parampara was there. But a person with low self-esteem and inferiority complex, he cannot do anything. He is tormented by that negative quality, negative thought. So that's the danger of identifying with the false ego. And there's one more. Identifying with the process of consciousness. Madhvacharya says, such person is haunted by memories of the past. Past memories. May not be past life memories also. Anyway, that also could be true. Tormented by this happened in my past life or past of this life. And is unable to do anything productive in the present and in the future. And if we have multiple misidentifications, then we have a combination of any of these problems we have discussed just now. Most of us have multiple misidentifications. So we are afraid of sometime, we feel hungry, we feel sleepy. So many things we have. So we need to understand that this is because of misidentification with this particular material aspect of life. So what should be our identification then? Muktir hitvanyatha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. And ಜೀವೇರ ಸ್ವರೂಪಹಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣೇರ ನಿತ್ಯದಾಸ್. ದಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಅವರ್ ರಿಯಲ್ ಐಡೆಂಟಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್, ಐಡೆಂಟಿಫೈಯಿಂಗ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಗೋಪಿ ಭರ್ತುರ್ ಪದಕಮಲಯೋರ್ ದಾಸ್ ದಾಸ್ ಅನ್ನೋದು. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸಿಚುವೇಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಐಡೆಂಟಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್, ದೆನ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ನೆಗೆಟಿವ್ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ಸ್, ಹಂಗರ್, ಲೇಸಿನೆಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ಫಿಯರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್, ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಶಿಯಲ್ ಬಿಟರ್ನೆಸ್, ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್. ವಿ ಆಟೋಮ್ಯಾಟಿಕಲಿ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡ್. ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಥಿಯರಟಿಕಲಿ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್, ದಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಎ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ರಿಲೀಸಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಫಿಯರ್, ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ನೆಗೆಟಿವ್ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಯು ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಪೊಸಿಷನ್, ದೆನ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ಸ್ ಗೋ ಅವೇ ಆಟೋಮ್ಯಾಟಿಕಲಿ. ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಡ್ಯಾಂಪನ್ ಅವರ್ ಎಂಥೂಸಿಯಾಸಮ್, ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಶೇಕ್ ಅಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಎನಿ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಅಡ್ವರ್ಸಿಟಿ. ನೋ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಅಡ್ವರ್ಸಿಟಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಫೆಕ್ಟ್ ಅಸ್, ನೋ ರಿವರ್ಸಲ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಫೆಕ್ಟ್ ಅಸ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಹೌ, ಸೊ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ಲಿ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಫಾಲ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೈಡ್. ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ ಪ್ರಭು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್ ದಿಸ್, ಪ್ರೈಡ್ ಕಾಸಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಮಿಸ್ಐಡೆಂಟಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಆಫ್ ಕಾಲ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣದಾಸ್, ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್ಸ್ ಹೌ ಎನಿ ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಫಾಲ್ ಡೌನ್ ಎನಿ ಟೈಮ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕೇರ್ಫುಲ್. ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಕೇರ್ಫುಲ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರಿಕ್ಟ್ ಸಾಧನ, ಸ್ಟ್ರಿಕ್ಟ್ ಅವಾಯ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಅವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸಂಘ, ದೆನ್ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಮೇಕ್ ಶೋರ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಅನ್ಎಫೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ನೆಗೆಟಿವ್ ವೈಬ್ರೇಷನ್ಸ್, ನೆಗೆಟಿವ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್. ದಟ್ ವೇ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಕ್ರಾಸ್ ಓವರ್ ದಿ ಓಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ದಿ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಐ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ ಹಿಯರ್. ಇಫ್ ಎನಿ ಒನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಎನಿ ಕಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ಸ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟೇಕ್. ಗ್ರಂಥಾ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ, ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ. Mm-hmm.